You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you for being here tonight. Fill out that card for us. I hope you enjoy our program. We've got a very special speaker for us tonight. You got a special? Okay. But Brother Charles is going to be singing Best Song. And then right after him, a gentleman who's no stranger to the rec room. He's helped us, I guess, just about from the time we started. His name is Ivy Shelton. He's pastor of the Sherwood Baptist Church. And he always does a great job for us. And so Brother Ivy is going to come and speak to you and talk with you about some things. And he always does a good job. So he'll come as soon as Brother Charles finishes the special.
Oh, yeah. We got a special. We got a good special tonight. If I can just remember what it was. No, I got it right here. Hey, y'all, none of y'all may care about this, but this will make Craig real jealous. It said Tommy Bahama sound waves. It's got guitars on it in case y'all have bad eyes. I love my Tommy Bahama shirt. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of great blessing that will be. When we all see we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day, glorious day that will be. I'm going to see Him one day, and I can't hardly wait. Brother Ivy, where are you? I've been looking. Oh, there he is over there. He was hiding. Here he comes. Give him a big hand. He's one of our dear.
All right. Everybody doing okay tonight? Very good. Very good. All right. I want to just share some stuff with you that I've experienced over the, I would say, the last. Really over the last 2.5 years, we're not getting to a place where it's going to get feedback. Can I wonder, or do I need to stay behind the pulpit? All right, I can move. Okay. I just got back from Peru, and that's a great country. And God's done some amazing things down there, and I want to share a little bit of that with you tonight, share some stuff that's on my heart. If you got a Bible, go to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. And I'm going to just kind of take this scripture and just really give you kind of a living illustration of something that's happened in our church, in my life, in several people's lives over the last 2.5 years. It's been an incredible journey, and God just laid it on my heart to share with you.
Got to take my whole family this time. God's blessed me to be able to go down to Peru about four times and three times over into the jungle area. And there's an amazing, amazing work going on over in that place. And that's what I want to share with you tonight, is just kind of how God has worked through all of that. I began to pray over that situation probably 3 years ago. And when I began to pray over it, I thought, man, this is it was a challenge given to me to think about as a pastor leading our people to go and pick up an unengaged people group in the world somewhere. That means a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, that He saves sinners like me, and His glorious grace is magnificent and reaches down, and He changes a life like mine. And I wanted to go out and share that good news, that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and if I put faith and trust in Him, and Him alone, that I would be saved. And I want to go share that message. So we were challenged to go and find a group in the world where the gospel message had never been. And so I took up that challenge and began to pray about that challenge. Now in Ephesians 3:20, Paul says this. He says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." That's a powerful scripture, that God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or even think, according to His power that works in us. And so that passage impacted me, and I began to pray, "Lord, help us to find this group of people somewhere in the world." And you start thinking about stuff like that, and it's something that's almost beyond the imagination, you know, to think about. And so I began to pray over this. I took it back to my church, and I said, "I believe the Lord is leading us to adopt a people group somewhere." And several years before that, I've been down to Peru, to Lima, Peru, with a friend named Jonathan Hewitt, and we'd done a crusade down there. A little bit after that, maybe a year later, one of my deacons went back with Jonathan, and they flew from Lima over to a city called Iquitos. And really, it's a village. It's one of the world's largest villages. It's in the jungle. The only way you get to it is you fly into it, or you walk out of the jungle, or you get there by boat. That's the only way you get to that city, to that village. 750,000 people in that village. And talk about when Lita was talking about Odessa a while ago, talk about a dirty, crime-ridden city, Iquitos. That's what it is. And so when my deacon's there, he said, "Why don't we begin to pray about Iquitos?" He said, "Man, there's people groups all around there in the jungle that we could reach out to, and let's begin to pray about that." Now, over the next few minutes, I'm just going to share some stories with you that I don't have any other word for it other than miraculous. So I said, "Okay, we'll begin to pray about Iquitos, Peru." And so we began to pray about that. It was several months later that there was a conference that was happening in Dallas. It was called the SENT Conference, S-E-N-T, the SENT Conference, the Missions Conference. Our mission board puts that on, and normally it's in Houston. We don't ever go because it's just a little further than what we want to drive. So my wife said, "I've always wanted to go to that conference. Can we go to that conference this year since it's in Dallas?" I said, "Sure." So we drove over to Dallas, and mind you, we're praying about Iquitos, Peru, and we walk into that conference, and we know where we're going. They've got all these sections in the conference, and they've got sections for Asia and different parts of the Middle East and up in Canada and all places all over the world. We know we're going to Latin America to that particular conference within that conference, and so we go down to that portion of where we know something about South Africa or South America is going to be talked about. And we get there, and this is the first thing that I saw where I just saw God's hand moving in an incredible way. We get there, we walk through the doors, and the couple that is making the presentation that day, they introduce themselves. They said, "Hi, we're Jake and Dodie Glover, and we are missionaries on furlough from Iquitos, Peru." And so right there, you know, when and we think about just our mission board alone, mission boards all over the world doing great and marvelous work, but ours has about 5,000 international missionaries out there. And that we would walk in there and there would be the two missionaries over the very city that we are praying about. To me, that was just God confirming that we're in the right direction, we're in the right spot in the world. So we began to talk to Jake and Dodie, and Jake is an interesting fella. He does not fit in Peru like I don't fit in Peru. Most of the Peruvians hit me about right here. And Jake is 6'8", so he's 3 inches taller than me. And so neither one of us fit in. So we decided we would start praying over this, and we invited Jake to come and share with us. And they came and shared with us, and he said, "Man, your church is ready to go. Y'all are prayed up, and you're ready to go." And the person who had preached the message challenging me to adopt this unengaged people group, when he preached that message, this one particular fella, he said, "Now, don't think you're going to get boots on the ground within like 6 months or a year." He said, "This is going to take 3 to 5 years to get your people ready to go." Well, Jay came out and he trained our people. We prayed about it and we decided we're going to take an exploratory trip and see what the Holy Spirit does. And so within 9 months, we had our first team down there. We partnered up with Odessa Bible Church here in town, and Bob Thayer and one of his elders, and myself, a couple of my guys, Steve Graves, Darren Webster. We got on a plane. We flew from Dallas to Lima, to Iquitos. And then Iquitos, we got on a boat. We traveled 5 hours down the Amazon. We stopped at Santa Rosa Pachana, right there on the Amazon River towards Brazil. And we began to pray. And Jake was with us, and he said, "We're going to visit about 4 different villages. And we visited all 4 of those villages, and we prayed, and there was great things that happened in each village. Man, I could just tell you some amazing stories. But one particular village by the name of Nueva Jardin, New Garden, we stopped there, and it's built up on a hill. It's a pretty steep hill. We stopped there. We climbed all the way to the top of that hill. There was a house that invited us in. We preached a message that afternoon. Bob Thayer preached a message, and there were 2 men that got saved. And one of them's named Edelberto, and one of them is named Julio. Those 2 men got saved. Now, I will tell you something. They got saved. I mean, they got saved for real. And because those men are leading out in the church today, and I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But they got saved that day, and we visited those other villages, and we looked at different things. But at the end of the day, when we were done with that trip, before we headed back, we were on that boat, and we looked at each other, and we said, "Nueva Jardin is the place." We looked at all different kinds of villages, but we just felt like God was telling us by His Spirit, that's the place right there. And so that was in January. And by March, we had our first team back in there. Over the last 2 years, between our church at Sherwood and Odessa Bible Church, we have just about had a team down there every month for the last 2 years. And it's been an amazing, amazing thing. We take discipleship material. We preach the gospel every time we go. We have discipleship in the mornings. We have discipleship in the afternoons. We split up the men, the women, my wife, or whatever ladies are there. They'll disciple the women, and the men will disciple the men, and it's just been incredible. And you just be amazed. They get their Bibles, they get their discipleship material, they don't ever lose it. Some of them, they'll come to discipleship sessions and they'll have it wrapped up in plastic, you know, and they'll take it like it's a treasure, and they'll take it out, and they'll have their pens and their markers, and they'll sit there, and I can show you pictures just from a week ago where they're sitting there studying scripture. There's about 100 people in that village, and we started off with those 2 men, and I'll just tell you, as of today, about 50 out of the 100 have come to Christ. And it has been an amazing thing. You give the Lord praise for that. Every time we go, somebody's saved. This time there were 4 people that accepted Christ. And it's cool to get to have a baptismal service in the Amazon. That's a cool thing to get to do. And so we get to do that actually in the tributary that leads out to the Amazon. But it's just this amazing, amazing thing that God is doing in that part of the jungle. And now, I don't even know what order to put all this in to tell you, because it's all so incredible. Now, the first generation of people that accepted Christ, and I'll tell you a story about one here in just a moment. Now they're looking at us after they've been through three sessions, three booklets of their discipleship material, and they're asking us, the new people that get saved, while you're not here, can we disciple those people? And that is an amazing thing to see. And then they got a burden to go to a neighboring village, San Isabella Pachana, and begin a work over there. So they took an abandoned building. They got a pastor to come from Brazil, and I preached to 40 people in San Isabella Pachana just this last week. And so they have a burden on their hearts to not only study and learn themselves, but to also disciple others within their village and also be going to the neighboring villages, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to those places. And I'm telling you, only the Lord can do that kind of work. And it is just an incredible, incredible thing. And so we have gotten to see God just do so many amazing things. And I asked one of our translators, I said, is this unusual? Because I've worked in different parts of the world, in Africa and Asia and in Peru, and God's blessed me to be able to go all over the world. And I said, I've never seen anything quite like this. And he said, I haven't either, not in Peru. He said, this is truly a unique, incredible thing that's happening. And so... God has just blessed us to be able to do that. Now, last week was my family's turn again. And so my wife, my three sons, my niece, my nephew, we flew over there and we got on the boat and went down the Amazon and up the Pachana River and back to the village. And we take three translators with us, a cook and a boat captain and his assistant. So 13 of us headed down there. We just had an amazing, amazing week. Now, if that was all there was to the story, that would be incredible enough. That God is doing that work, that the work is expanding in that part of the jungle, that would just be amazing enough. But something happened about a year ago that we never expected. Remember I said that in about 2013, towards the end, maybe October, November of 2012, I'm sorry, God put this on my heart to begin to pray about this. And then He sovereignly moved to take us to that area of Iquitos, and we got to see His hand in that in an incredible way. But let me tell you something we found out about a year ago. There's a mother in that village by the name of Aurora. And she has a little girl, cute little girl named Sasa. And Sasa will have her little tambourine. She'll be playing during the worship services, you know. And it just an amazing thing how much Aurora loves the Lord. And she shared something with one of our ladies last year that just blew us away. She began to share this story of how she had lost three babies. And Sasa was the fourth, and Sasa was sick. And she was down on another part of the river. She was in Santa Rosa Pachana, where we stayed the first time. And she heard Jay Glover, my friend, preach. And when he preached, she was convicted, but she was so worried about her child. She went forward and she asked Jake, she said, would you pray over my baby? Because I've lost three babies to illness, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose the fourth. And so Jake prayed over her baby. And when he was done, he said, now my greatest concern is, are you born again? Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Do you ask Him into your heart? She said no. And he said, well, I'll tell you what. And she said, I'm not ready. But he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I believe your little girl's going to be okay. But I believe that you need to know Christ as your Savior. So he said, I'm going to write your name in my book, my prayer book. And he said, I'm going to be praying that you'll make a decision to follow Christ with your life. And so she left there, and Sasa was okay. And it was some months later that she was down river at a little place called Indiana, and she heard another missionary preach. And at that point, she was ready to accept Christ, and she did. She got saved, and we never knew this. We thought we were engaging a people group that had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is how big our God is. So she went back to her little village, Nueva Jardín, and she began to pray, God, would you send somebody down the river that would preach this gospel to the rest of my village? And she began to pray that prayer about the time that God put that on my heart. And there are over 90,000 villages around the Amazon And out of 90,000 villages, God brought a whole boatload full of gringos. Two very large ones. And we showed up on their doorstep with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was because my God is sovereign. And because my God is powerful. And He heard the prayers of one little mama who began to pray, God, would you bring somebody down that river to share the gospel? And we showed up on their doorstep out of 90,000 villages. He brought us. Now that's not to pat us on the back. That's to show how big God is. We thought we were going down there to preach the gospel to people that never heard. And we didn't know our God's so big, He'd already saved one in that village. And we were being used of Him to go and take the gospel message. Now I look at that scripture that I just read to you. That scripture means so much more to me today than it ever has before. Now to Him who is able, He is indeed, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I would have never thought of this story. I would have never thought of any of this. According to the power that works in us, and to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is powerful. God is powerful. And if you doubt it, I want to tell you something. If you begin to pray, He can do more than you can ever ask or think or imagine according to His power. And you begin to flow and be obedient in what He calls you to do, you'll be amazed at what God can do. I can tell you story after story about how God has worked in that village. I could tell you about a governor there, that's their mayor in that little village, who was very skeptical of us, very standoffish, didn't want anything to do with us. And how God worked through some illness in that family, and we were able to bring some medicine to that family and open the door in that family. He got saved, his wife got saved, and he had two sons saved on this last trip. And he said, I'm praying, all my children are saved except one, his name's Dante. And he said, he's the last one. And I'm praying that he will follow Christ too. That same man, his name's Isaac, he told me last year, he said, I want you to know what this has done for our village. Because he said, New Year's Day has always been people hung over or drunk. And he said, and fighting and carousing. He said, this year it was completely different. He said, we had get-togethers, we played soccer, we laughed together, we ate together. And he said, there was none of that this year. He said, you've brought Christ to our village. And it is an amazing thing. And it is an amazing thing to see the doors open to the next village. It's an amazing thing to see the doors open to the village on the other side of them and then bring children over to hear the gospel. So I don't know what else God's going to do. He's blown me away with this. But I just want you to know tonight that if you have not trusted Him as your Savior, I would encourage you, just like Jake encouraged Sasa, make this the night that you ask Jesus Christ into your life. Because I tell you, He can do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever think or imagine. And He'll change your life. He'll change your life. Now, it may look different than what you think. You never know what God's going to do in your life. And you never know what doors He's going to open in your life. You never know what hardships you're going to go through, but that God will redeem and use and allow you, as Paul says, to take the comfort that God has given you and use that same comfort to comfort somebody else and minister into their lives. You never know how God's going to work. But when you look back on it and you see the hand of God, you'll be blown away as you see what God has done. I don't know what God's going to continue to do in that village, but I have all the faith in the world He'll continue to do whatever He wants to do. I just want to be obedient to Him as He leads us in that direction. So I just ask you, pray for us and pray that God will continue to raise up missionaries and people to go, and God will continue to work in that little village down there. But you know, I pray that God will begin to work in this village right here. Because the Lord Jesus said this. He said, you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. Our Jerusalem is Odessa. The uttermost parts may be Peru or Africa or Asia or wherever it is. But we're supposed to take the gospel here and everywhere in between. And I'm ready. I'm ready because I've seen God do exceedingly abundantly. Are you ready to follow Christ tonight? I want you to bow your heads with me. And as we end up our time together, I would just ask you, do you know my Jesus? Because I stand here before you tonight and I tell you, I can give testimony to my Jesus and how powerful He is. And all your problems will not go away. I wouldn't try to fool you or trick you or anything else. Sometimes you follow Jesus, the devil will start working on you. And sometimes the heat will be turned up and it'll get bad for a while. But I want to tell you something. You keep your eyes on Jesus. And what the devil intends for bad, God can use it all for good and His glory. And tonight, you can trust Christ as your Savior. So simple. It's a free gift. Do you understand that I'm a sinner? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's puts you and me in the same boat. We're all sinners. But Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our whipping. He took our punishment. He took the wrath of a just God upon His shoulders so that we wouldn't have to in an eternity of hell. He took it for us. And all He asks us to do is put our faith and trust in Him. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can cry out to Him tonight. Now listen, I'll help you here, but I don't want you just to repeat these words because there's no magic in the words. If this isn't your heart's desire, then don't pray it. And if you've already prayed it, you know, you're okay. If you've asked Christ to come into your heart, you want to pray it again. But listen to me. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit's working on you tonight and convicting you, and tonight you say, I'm ready. Then you can make these your words and just pray them to the Lord Jesus. And just say to Him this, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I turn to You. You died on the cross for my sins. And I thank You for that. Now, Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart and save me. I call on You right now as Lord and Savior. Take my life. Save me. If you prayed that prayer, let's thank Him right now. Thank You, Jesus, for saving my soul. Now listen, the words don't have to be perfect. He hears your heart's cry. So if you prayed that, we want you to come and let us know tonight. If you need prayer for some other reason, we will give you that opportunity as well. Lord Jesus, move and work in this place as only You can, Sovereign Lord. We love You. We thank You. We give this time to You for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Brother Charles begins to sing, would you come on the very first verse and say, I trust this Jesus. I'm coming to join Him. Come on. Come right on.
But that Your blood was shed for me,
and
that You bid
me
come to Thee.
Say, I'm ready. I want to join Christ. Would You come?
To
our heads still bowed, eyes still closed. In a minute, we're going to sing one more verse. You've heard a very simple, plain message. There's no reason other than just negligence to not trust Jesus Christ. You say, Leland, if you'd sing one more verse, I would have come. Somebody told me that one time. If you'd sing one more verse, I would have come. You've got that opportunity right now. Are you doing what God wants you to do? This is your call. Brother Charles.
Just as.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.